Welcome to Alphabet Scoop, episode 118. As always, I'm joined by Ben Schoen and Kyle Bradshaw. This week, we talk about what's happening, literally, with the Pixel 5a, 5G, and what we know so far. We then look at what's happening with Google Nest and its plans for the smart home. So, diving right into Friday morning. Last Friday, there was a tweet about the Pixel 5a being cancelled, apparently, and there was a follow-up report citing two sources that the Pixel 5a was indeed cancelled, and that gave credibility to the rumors that morning. However, Google later on the day officially denied that and officially confirmed that the Pixel 5a 5G exist. And it was a wild morning, to say the very least.
It was a good morning to be on Twitter.
Good morning to be on Twitter.
I think it's so interesting. Like, Google hasn't... I mean, correct me if my memory is mistaken here, but I feel like Google hasn't done something like this, like talked so early about a product since they just gave us pictures of the Pixel 4.
Yeah,
I believe you're correct.
I have to say that this with the Pixel 5a, this is the first time it's been reactive, because with the Pixel 4, what happened was, there was like somebody got the like metal casing units for the showing off the Pixel 4 and that square camera bump for the first time, and then after that it led to Google basically showing a picture of the back of the phone, and then that set them down the path of detailing motion sense and Sori. But in the case of the Pixel 5a 5G, which we now know is the official name of the phone, this... we'll get there. We'll definitely get there. It was... They purely had to shut down an inaccurate rumor, misinterpretation of what was actually happening. So yeah, but yeah, it's basically unprecedented what they felt they had to do. Because if they let that rumor play, I guess they were afraid of, I don't know, people calling to question the Pixel line's future.
I think more so it was basically someone was saying our most popular phone, we're not making one this year because we can't get chips, and that just sends a bad message for all Google products in general. Is just saying, yeah, hey, the chip shortage is this bad that we can't release this at all. That's what the tweet was saying.
It's a sign of weakness if they were to drop it, just because that would show that, hey, Google's not strong enough to negotiate getting chips from Qualcomm in spite of the shortage.
Indeed. So, yeah. So, what we do know officially is this comment they gave us. Pixel 5a 5G is not cancelled. It will be available later this year in the US and Japan, and announced in line with when last year's A-series phones were introduced. So, again, we know the name, which, Kyle, I believe you have some thoughts about.
Oh my goodness, the name. So, with the name Pixel 5a 5G, which I don't know how much longer I'm going to even be willing to say that long phrase, it sounds like a successor to the Pixel 4a 5G, which was really only just a half step down from the Pixel 5. Where the Pixel A line, up until the ridiculously named Pixel 4a 5G, the A line was a major step downward while still retaining that Pixel quality, that Pixel niceness. So I don't know what to expect from this phone with the name. It sounds like a phone that's going to cost in the same ballpark as the 4A 5G rather than something in the ballpark like the $399 ballpark.
Yeah, and it's also surprising even that they're going to keep the 5G moniker at the end, considering it wasn't on the Pixel 5. It was only on the 4A 5G to distance itself from the LTE-only 4A. So it doesn't even make sense to call it the 5A 5G unless there is a 5A.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that was adding 5G. So this is going to be a cheap phone. It's going to be a more affordable phone targeted to a different audience and flagships. And I wonder how much 5G is meant to be an attention-grabbing thing versus there being actual meaning to it.
I'm sure it just has to do with carrier partners or something like that, because that is the truth, is that's all carriers want to sell is phones that say 5G, and because of that, that's what customers have in their heads. So,
just a quick to your earlier point, looking at the Pixel 5A or the Pixel 5 box, it does say 5G underneath it, just like yes. The Pixel 4A 5G. It says 5G in the same way that yes. The Pixel 5 says 5G. It's on a separate line. So one could say that the Pixel 5 is the Pixel 5 5G, and just nobody is saying that because it's a terrible thing to say.
No, in fairness, they've never referred to it in marketing that way.
Yeah, and the same is true for every carrier, and carriers would be the one to say that.
Mm-hmm. So this is definitely something decided on Google's end, unfortunately. But yeah, to your question about whether this implies a regular 5A with just 4G, I guess the question is, how much is this phone going to be? And before we dive into that, I guess we have to talk about what we know already. From one vendor, the only real leak we've had about what this phone actually is, there's going to be a 6.2-inch screen, exactly just like the 4A 5G today. It will be ever so slightly taller, narrower, and thicker. It's going to be made like plastic again, and from the visual appearance of the vendor, it looks like it's going to have a dual camera setup. So there's a lot, physically, a lot's going to be the same. And the big unknowns are what chip is going to power it, and what kind of 5G radios it's going to have. I think Kyle can definitely speak to about how we haven't seen any signs of a new chip yet.
Yeah, our sourcing has not shown any indications of Google working with a new Snapdragon chip that hasn't been seen in a previous Pixel phone. Mm-hmm. And we also know for sure that that the code name that we've been tracking for all this time for the Pixel 5a, Barbit, is not going to be on the GS101 chip like the Pixel 6 is going to be. So it seems like they might be recycling a previous chip, but we don't know that for certain.
Yeah. I guess in terms of development, doing another 765G, like with the last year's two fall phones would be the most obvious choice. But that is decidedly a premium chip. A more premium chip.
And there would be almost no differentiation between the Pixel 5a 5G and Pixel 4a 5G at that point. They would almost be the same phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really... The chip obviously drives the cost of the phone in a major way. I don't know if we're guessing about other specs. I guess, 6 gigs of RAM again? 128 gigs of storage, which we all hope Google sticks to going forward and giving people a much higher ceiling. So yeah, the other big unknown is what chip is Google... The other big unknown is what cellular radio Google is going to use. Are they going to just do sub-6, or are they going to add millimeter wave for Verizon's sake?
I'm sure there will be a Verizon version of this phone that has millimeter wave, but I doubt that the one normally sold will, especially in other regions.
Yeah, the unlocked model. What's happening?
The one other region?
The one other region.
Yes, the one other region.
Yeah.
Is there anything that they could strip from the Pixel for A5G? Is there anything they could take out that isn't necessary? I mean, we already established that the cameras should be the same. I mean, what else is there that they could take out? They already took out the water safety, the wireless charging. What else is there?
Yeah.
There isn't anything, really.
Honestly, does it need two cameras? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
I don't think so, but I really don't think it does.
Yeah.
There is a demand for ultra-wide.
But not in that price range, huh?
Yeah, no, there is. And multiple cameras is definitely a selling point in that market. That's why, you know, OnePlus, the Nord, and LG when they were a thing, and all these other companies that were marketing to the, you know, $400 segment, it was all... We have four cameras. They can do this. It wasn't about the quality of the pictures. It was about the numbers. So, you know, Google has the quality, but they kind of at least still need to make an effort on the numbers to, you know, keep people's attention. And at this point, one camera kind of looks like a weakness more than a strength.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else can they do to make this phone more affordable?
Honestly, if it is a 765 and it's the only, you know, if there is no lower end 5A, then that's already going to be a good value, especially because it means they don't have to separate the pricing as much. Part of the reason the 4A 5G landed at $500 was because they had to put some distance between the 4A and the 4A 5G and the 4A 5G and the 5. And that was the only place it could fit. But we've seen 765 phones that are $399 or less. So they could definitely shave $100 off the price and still be making a profit.
$399 Pixel 5G.
I mean, that'd be $50 up from last year, though.
Yeah,
I think $50 deserved, though.
With the processor, especially.
With the processor and the fact that it'll be bigger, which, you know, a lot of people did like it smaller, but again, at this price range, people want big phones.
I do wonder what Google's going to do with the 4A. There is an argument for keeping it around another few months, if not entire all of 2021. $349 is still competitive. They can knock the price down even further. That would be one heck of a phone.
Yeah.
One heck of a value.
Honestly, though, as far as the A cycle goes, I'm more intrigued about what's going to happen with the 6A.
6A. Yeah. Did Google have... Has Google hit the limits of the A series in terms of it's no longer matching the non-A phone? Have they hit a wall with that naming scheme? Do they need to start doing something different?
I don't think so. I think this year is just decidedly recycling, and it's going to take some time for things to pan out. As we know, like, the 6 is going to be Whitechapel, and it's going to be, you know, upgrades from that sense. So, you know, by the time we get to 6A, that might have Whitechapel, or the Pixel 7 might be trying some more advanced things that separate it better. So we'll gotta wait and see.
Indeed, we do.
So I think this is just gonna be another off year.
Yeah, as much as everybody thought 2021 would be a bit more normal for Google hardware, but yeah. So yeah, the Pixel 4a was announced in August from Google's announcement, I guess. We should expect to see a similar launch for this phone.
That's an interesting point, actually. All they said was that it would be in line, or something along those lines. It would be in line with the previous A series announcements, but that could be talking about the Pixel 4a 5G, which is announced in October, the Pixel 4a, which was announced in August, or the Pixel 3a, which was announced in May. That's a over six month period, or something that they could possibly be, or 5 month period that they could be possibly referring to.
I would think that the timing of the initial leak, the OnLeaks renders, probably points to August. Just, you know, given the timing, if it was October, we would have seen Pixel 6 renders by now.
Yeah,
and if it was May, we would have seen the actual phone by now.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. By this time, with the 4A's cycle, we had seen everything.
Three times over.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about I/O more as the weeks come, but I guess it's going to be very weird what hardware, if made by Google, has a presence at the developer conference. So yeah, so that's the launch timing in general. We also know it's coming to Japan, which is an important market for Google and the Pixel. Interestingly.
Still love that ad.
Yes.
Still love that squeeze ad. It makes me miss the feature so much.
Yes, for the Pixel 3, was it? They've done custom advertising for the Japanese market, in addition to also offering custom colors, berry, blue, at the 4A to Japan and the US only. And I believe Nexus 6P had a special color in Japan, right?
The gold?
Or was it the pink?
I don't remember a pink one. I remember the gold one, and I do think that started in Japan.
Yeah. So they have Google Hardware has a special affinity for Japan.
I almost ordered one of those special cases that they had for the Pixel 3 in Japan.
Ooh!
They had the artist done ones. Those were awesome looking.
Those need to come back. Those definitely need to come back. It's fun. It's definitely fun. So yeah, that is what we know about the Pixel 5a 5g so far. Before we talk about other stories this week, a word from our sponsor. This week's episode of Alphabet Scoop is brought to you by NVIDIA's GeForce Now. With GeForce Now, you can transform nearly any laptop, desktop, Mac, Chromebook, NVIDIA Shield TV, Android device, iPhone, or iPad into an instant PC gaming rig when you feel that urge to play and immerse yourself in a new or familiar world. With instant installs and no driver downloads, you can start gaming faster. GeForce Now is powered by NVIDIA's best-in-class GPUs and next-gen technology. You can access the most demanding PC titles and seamlessly play with whatever device is nearest you. Connect to your supported store of choice and stream your library. Since you're making purchases on your personal account, like Steam or the Epic Games Store, those titles will always stay with you. Join GeForce now and start playing for free, or upgrade your membership for faster access to cloud gaming servers, extended gameplay sessions, and RTX graphics featuring ray tracing and DLSS tech. And, just before the weekend, check back weekly for GFN Thursday, NVIDIA's celebration of the newest games and features, streaming from the cloud to you. Head to GeForceNow/9to5Google or hit the link in the show notes to check out GeForce Now today. Our thanks to NVIDIA and GeForce Now.
Okay, so just a minor point. You said GeForce Now slash.
Ah.
You want to re-record, head to...
Yes.
Onward.
Apologies, Zach. Head to GeForceNow.com/9to5Google.com. Ah!
the double coms.
Okay.
HomestarRunner.net. It's .com.
Head to GeForceNow.com/9to5Google or hit the link in the show notes to check out GeForce Now today. Our thanks to NVIDIA and GeForce Now for sponsoring. Okay, so we do have some Pixel follow-up to today, and we had a bit more details about Whitechapel GS101.
Yeah, we took a deeper dive into the information that we had available to us about the GS101 chip, both from our own sourcing and from previous reporting from others. The big thing is that instead of using the usual design of that ARM has of big little, where you have some big cores that handle high power things like games and recording videos and stuff like that, and little cores that handle low power things like making sure your text messages get through and emails and things like that. Instead of using that big little setup, this is following a newer design structure where there are three sets of clusters. So from previous reporting, we know that there's going to be two Cortex A78 cores, which are the biggest ones. Then we got a step down with two A76 cores, and then another step down to four Cortex A55 cores, which it all adds up to eight cores like normal, but kind of changes the design a little bit. I'm not usually with the three cluster design. They have like one really big, powerful core that they use to handle things that don't or that aren't optimized for multi-core purposes. But that's getting a little technical there.
Yeah, this design. Qualcomm. They're starting to do this free cluster design, aren't they? Or has it been rumored?
I'm not sure. I know Exynos is doing it. I know Samsung's doing it with the the Snapdragon 888 is using it too. So the Exynos 2100 and the Snapdragon 888.
Yeah, I don't know, with the Samsung, have we seen any... What's with the latest Galaxy S21? Were they using the Exynos chip?
Yeah, they're using Exynos in Europe and everywhere but the United States, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so we're not hearing anything out of the ordinary in terms of performance, are we? Or specific gains or benefits. Maybe like other hardware choices, Android doesn't get optimized for those features until the Pixel line adopts it, which is a bit of a trend.
I don't know, what do you think, Ben? You've used both the S20 and the S21. Was it a noticeable jump?
No more than any other Snapdragon jump. Yeah. It's, you know, there's always there's part of it's just because it's a brand new phone that you know, it's not bogged down by anything yet. But yeah, every year it feels a little bit stronger, a little bit faster and more capable, but S20 to 21, or, you know, more accurately, 865 to 888, it doesn't feel noticeably different, even though the benchmarks say otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a problem with flagship phones at this point, though. Like, we're not pushing them to the limit anymore, so that's kind of why upper mid-range has kind of become popular, because most people don't max out their chips anymore.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, like, augmented reality is something that could push it, but we've kind of, like, for the Pixel, 3 and earlier, they had these fun, in the camera apps, they had these fun filters, augmented reality-esque experiences, and the likes of Instagram are doing that with face filters and Snapchat, but I don't know, it's not that intensive, or we're not really getting to that true AR vision yet. If anything, we're kind of retreating from that. So there's nothing too intensive to push our phones yet, at least in the current generations.
And especially not just in raw computing power, where now we're starting to... chip makers and everything are starting to push more towards specialty chips that do specialty jobs. Like, one of the things that we've found is that, or that's been reported, is the GS101 Whitechapel chip is supposed to mark the return of the visual core, if not even the neural core from the Pixel 4, but as an integrated chip rather than a separate component. So,
which definitely has its benefits. That was, you know, it's a different category, but, you know, the difference between the 86 on Qualcomm side, the 865 and the 888 was integrating the 5G modems as part of the chip, and that does have a direct play on battery life and other performance parts of the system. So Whitechapel having those integrated into the chip might mean they're a little bit faster and suck up a little bit less power, even though that will be less noticeable than the than it is, like, something with the 5G modem.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, though, the performance will be night and day for some tasks, though. Like, I'm imagining the assistant is probably going to be faster, but I can't say that with any certainty, because I never used the Pixel 4. But we do know that the camera processing speed is going to be enormously faster, just because I've used the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 5, and it's night and day, because there's no visual core.
That is a very sad thing, too. For them, for such a digression to occur, it's, yeah, not the proudest moment.
I would have paid $50 or more extra dollars for the Pixel 5 if I could have had the neural core in it.
Yeah, agreed.
Imagine that level of customization.
Project Aura.
Yeah, that's a shame. So yeah, what else did we learn? A tidbit about the modem.
Yeah. So one of the things that we were able to report exclusively is that in the documentation that we've seen, it should be using an Exynos modem, which is unusual because I don't think that there's any phones in the United States that really use that. Obviously, there's tons in Europe because of Samsung's own phones. But they're not really used in the United States, so it's interesting to see that that's going to be part of the design, at least in parts of the world, if mm-hmm. not also in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's a look into Whitechapel as we get closer to whenever this big deal is launching. Elsewhere in the Pixel world, Pixel Buds, we are desperately awaiting Pixel Buds A, but until then, Google has stopped selling, they've stopped making the oh-so-orange Pixel Buds, sadly. I wish I got
the best color.
The best color. I wish, I think all of us wish we've gotten them. But alas, down to three colors, and I don't know if 2021 is another repeat of 2020 in terms of inventory and manufacturing. More color constraints are on the way this year.
It should just be, you know, two pieces of plastic. It's not like the Pixel Buds A where the color is actually used throughout. It's literally just two little circles.
Caps, yeah. Can you put a I assume you can't put a skin on that, right? Because of the touch-sensitive surface.
I mean, you could if someone made one.
I bet Dbrand could do it if they wanted to, but they probably don't, and I don't blame them.
I remember I asked them about it, and they directly said nope. Well, they didn't even hesitate. They just said nope.
That sounds about right.
It's a very Dbrand thing to say.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's just a note about the Pixel Buds. Next up, we have Google Nest. The ADT partnership is starting to come to fruition.
Yeah, so Google announced, was it last year or the year before?
Last year, yeah.
It was last year. They announced a big, $450 million partnership with ADT, who is best known for providing home security systems. And the deal was to integrate Nest hardware into these systems and for ADT to start selling and installing Nest gear. And while we haven't seen that happen yet, the partnership has started as of this month with ADT. First, they have expanded assistant controls within their ecosystem. They have been supporting Google Assistant with a lot of their gear for a couple of years now. But now, as of this month, they weren't specific on the dates, but as of this month, ADT command and control hardware, as well as the DIY-focused Blue by ADT, both fully support Google Assistant commands, so you can arm your security system, change your thermostat, interact with all the ADT sold and produced smart home gear, which is always great to see. But probably more impactful for finding new customers is that ADT can now sell select Nest gear, such as the Nest Mini, the Nest Hub, and the Nest Hub Max. And they can also install it. And based on my understanding, which may be slightly off, that is free with the purchase of the product. So someone would come to your home and install it.
What is installing a smart speaker, a smart display?
So, yeah, that's exactly the reason I didn't really talk about this in our post. But my understanding of it is, ADT does smart home consultations with those who don't want to do it on their own. You know, they just want to get someone to get this all set up for them. And basically, it would be, you talk to ADT, they would set you up with, you know, your bulbs, your lock, your cameras, something. All that kind of stuff. And they would also set you up with a Nest Mini and a Nest Hub. And they would, of course, yes, they would plug it in for you, but they would also maybe set it up on an account for you, or set it up on your account, and they would, you know, tie in all the smart home gear. The press releases and stuff I got were not super specific on these details, and I'm not familiar enough with how ADT's smart home consultations work to confidently say all that, but that is my understanding of it.
This seems more like something to benefit ADT than something that benefits Nest, if only in the sense of, like, hey, our stuff is smart. You can connect it to your smart home. People are like, what's a smart home?
Yes and no. It does benefit ADT a lot because a lot of the work is being taken off of them. But at the same time, ADT is a trusted and recognized brand by, like, the average consumer and the homeowner, and the people who are installing ADT systems, a lot of them are trying to do more cameras and all this kind of stuff. And them saying, hey, for an extra $50, we'll put a speaker in your home that can control all this stuff that you just put in. It's probably not going to be like a massive boost in sales, but it will sell more Nest gear. And this is just the beginning of it, because the rest of the partnership is going to be with ADT directly selling Nest cameras. And if Google ever does a security system again and stuff like that, it sounds like it might just replace ADT's current cameras with Nest cameras.
Yeah. So yeah, diving light into that, cameras. I see on the image that ADT shared about the partnership, there's this blue camera right now, and they can't really do Google's lineup right now because it's very much mixed. So the Nest Cam, at the start of the year, the Nest Cam IQ Outdoor was sold out, which caused Google to confirm to us that they're making a 2021 line of cameras. Just this week, we noticed that the Nest Cam IQ Indoor is now sold out. So these are their flagship offerings, and I'm somewhat wondering if the fact that the regular Cam Indoor and Outdoor are still in stock, if that's a sign that those devices are going to stay as the dirt cheap offerings from Google Nest.
I would be shocked if they didn't replace the original cameras, because they've been around for such a long time.
Yep. The Cam Indoor is just a drop cam rebrand over many, many generations. It's ridiculous.
And we haven't seen any sign of them doing more than maybe two.
Yeah, it makes sense that they replace the AI Cam IQ stuff at the top end. But I don't know. Google has obviously found great success in selling the cheapest thing and like a medium, moderately priced thing. So I don't know if this is their way of doing super cheap products, or if they're just going all in on premium security cameras, which, I don't know, looking at the market, I'm not sure what the appetite for something very premium is.
Well, the thing is, too, that the regular Nest Cam is not dirt cheap anymore. It is, honestly, it's on the higher end of this market, because you've got companies like Wyze and TP-Link and all these other companies who are making pretty capable cameras, and honestly pretty good cameras, for $30 a piece, where the regular Nest Cam is it $99 or $129 right now?
It's $129.
That's... Yeah, so it's over three times, it's several times the cost. For really not much added functionality, like, at best you can just say these are more reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is important, but for a lot of people, it's not worth an extra $100 per camera.
The premium is not
there. And then that just makes the IQ line, which again doesn't really add a crazy amount more. It's just a higher resolution, basically. And those are, what was the outdoor one was $400.
It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
The market has changed, and I don't know if Google can get away with just saying, we have $100 and $400. Like, they need to do something to make it a little more reasonable. Yeah. Just taking the old IQs and turning them into, ADT-friendly mid-range cameras, as in $100 and $200 for the outdoor, maybe, would be great. Yeah. And realistically, it's probably not out of the question, because, again, the IQ, the only difference was it was a much higher resolution sensor, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, better speaker, processor, nothing that is so immediate to regular people on why they would upgrade.
Yeah, so I think the likely scenario is that the current IQs are going away, and they'll just be replaced by the same basic hardware, but at a lower cost. That seems like the most likely scenario right now.
Yeah, you can't really do that much in terms of design of a camera that's going to be stationary. I don't know, I guess I could make it cute as fabric covered, as is their usual aesthetic, but yeah. Cameras are much more appliance-like in nature, in concept, than something that you interact with daily.
Seems like there's room for them to follow the model of the Nest thermostat, where they just come out with a Nest thermostat and it's at a reasonable price. I mean, yes, it's not the high-end learning one, but it's just, here you go, here's a Nest thermostat, it's affordable, enjoy it.
Yeah, that would be great too.
That is the career. But in that scenario, I just imagine that it wouldn't be the IQ lines going all out of stock right now. It's, I don't know, I just feel like it would be another
I think burst. it's more because the IQs, there's no way the IQ line is their big seller. So, you know, let's say ADT is Q3 of this year. They can get away with saying, okay, we're done with the IQ for another 5-6 months. I don't know if they could get away with saying we're not going to sell anyone a Nest Cam for 5-6 months. Because there is still a market for that. And also, to add ADT's indoor and outdoor cameras on their DIY version are $199 each.
$199, okay. Okay.
So, maybe $150 for Nest Cam.
Yeah. So yeah, besides those standalone cameras, we are getting rumors of a Nest Hello successor, or the Google Home app revealed this image of the back of a tall oblong and camera piece of plastic, really. So yeah, a new Nest Hello, which is something that's due for a refresh as well. And how is the Nest Hello in the competitive landscape today?
Pretty good. It's overpriced compared to most right now. Mm. It's definitely like, I can't remember off the top of my head the competing prices, but I know every time I'm reminded that the Nest Hello costs $230, I'm like, wow, that's a lot higher than everyone else. Especially because a lot of these other brands are tweaking the product to make it work a little better. I want to say it's Arlo. They sell a doorbell camera, and it shoots all of its footage at, not quite in like vertical video portrait, but at an aspect ratio that lets you see more of your porch. So like at a normal angle, you're going to see, you know, a good wide angle width wise, but you're also going to be able to see like the porch underneath the doorbell and the ceiling up above, instead of seeing, you know, someone's waist when they ring the doorbell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we were saying, it's just due for an upgrade, given how old it is. And I think the market has matured to a point where these things can be mass market, can be bought by a lot more people. They're more comfortable with the idea of these connected devices compared to, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah. No, and the market has changed a lot. I went ahead and checked. The Arlo sells for $126, and the Ring Cam doorbell sells for $99. So that's how far detached the Nest Hello is in terms of price.
Yeah, they have to go after Ring. That's who they have their sights set on. They want to compete with Amazon, obviously.
Yeah, so it's definitely time to find a way to be a little more competitive with that.
Indeed, indeed. So yeah, like with the Pixel, like with the Pixel Buds, and with Google Nest, we expect those three things at the very least coming from Google over the coming months and getting into the fall season. Until those things get announced, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast on Wednesdays and publish Thursday mornings. And you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. And you can even listen on our site at 9to5google.com if you wish. As always, thank you for tuning in, and thanks to Kyle and Ben for joining me. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.